This is Ozarks at Large. With me on the phone from Fort Smith is Michael Tilley with Talk Business and Politics. Michael, we are in a post-election, post-2020 election world, kind of. How are you doing?
Kind of like Mad Max Thunderdome kind of feeling. But
well, I want to concentrate on one River Valley-specific election result, which was a question to extend a quarter-cent sales tax countywide in Sebastian County that is and was going to be further money directed towards UAFS. It was rejected. What does this mean for the University of Arkansas Fort Smith?
Well, it means they'll have to find another source for about $6 million, roughly $6 million a year. You know, this was a shocker. You know, you and I talked last week about this, and I noted that there were some legitimate reasons that folks might vote against it. For example, it was sold back in 2002 as a, just transition tax, 20-year transition tax, when West Ark College became the University of Arkansas at Fort Smith, and, you know, that it would go away after that. And also that no other university in the University of Arkansas system rely on a local sales tax. So I just, though, Kyle, was shocked at that it went down, and then it went down by the number. I mean, it was a 56, 40, 43 and a half kind of, I mean, there were more than almost 6,000 votes against it out of roughly 46, a little over 46,000. That is a huge margin. I just didn't expect that. I mean, because now that's a county electorate. So, but you know, you had the citizens of Fort Smith, which make up a majority of the voters in the county. You know, they have been consistently supportive of the street tax, countywide sales tax that supports the city of Fort Smith general fund. They were overwhelmingly for the school millage. And so this is a reversal. And I think just a lot of residents were convinced that, yeah, you know what? We weren't told it was just a one-time transition tax. And why just our university, not the other university? So I think that played into it. It's just another example that money doesn't always win campaigns. I guarantee you there were over $100,000, probably $110,000, $115,000 raised when all was said and done to push it. And I'll be surprised if there were more than $10,000 raised to oppose it. To your question of what happens, you know, Chancellor Teresa Riley has already said that they're going to look at their options. One of those is to maybe even bring it back to the citizens. I got to tell you, Kyle, with that kind of political spanking, though, they took on election night, I'm not convinced what message they could put out that would change that result. It'll just be how to find ways to make up for that capital money that provided. Do they raise tuition? Do they raise fees? Do they cut programs? I think that we'll learn these things. And I don't think the hit's going to be right away. The tax doesn't expire. I think it's January, it sunsets January 2022, so they have a year, a little over a year on that. So, but in terms of setting up for a budget, that budget prep will come well before the year's up.
Before long, we're going to start a ninth month of a statewide public health emergency. I continue when I talk to you almost every week to get these counterintuitive financial numbers in one regard or another. The latest is the continued year-to-year increase in building activity in the Fort Smith Metro. Explain to me how this is happening.
Yeah, I wish I could. I wish I could get in the heads of all these people that are building these projects. But I can tell you in non-pandemic years, which was most of them since 1918, I guess, we haven't had this, the region has not had this good of a year of growth. But when you're looking at the value of the permits issued by Fort Smith, Van Buren, and Greenwood through October, those are up almost 35%, 34.7%, a little over $235 million total. Now, obviously, a bulk of that is from the city of Fort Smith, which is almost $210 million in permits, and they're up almost a little over 44%. What we're seeing, Kyle, is a lot of that is still ongoing growth around the Chaffee Crossing area, which is around the Arkansas College of Health Education and around the new ArcBest corporate headquarters. You've had offices going up, homes, loft apartments, a couple of restaurants, that kind of thing. But it's also been pretty broad. For example, you've had the large project, large VA, clinic that will be built near the 188th Air Base over on Phoenix Avenue. And you've had a lot of housing. The housing industry is still going well. And if you talk to realtors, they'll tell you that the only thing keeping their sales down is they just don't have enough inventory. They don't have enough homes to sell. The market's still healthy. I suspect that a lot of it is just the low interest rates, and people are taking advantage of those. It'll be interesting to see if interest rates rise, how that affects. Also, it'll be interesting to see, are we borrowing
right
this growth on future years? And maybe in 2022, 23, we see a drop off dramatically because they've built into it. So several of those factors that are playing into this.
Also up compared to a similar time last year is the returns for ArcBest. Is this the result of a better environment for the freight industry?
Yeah, that is it, and that's a good point. I've often watched ArcBest, or when it was ABF Freight or Arkansas Best before then, and I would argue even more so now that they have a strong logistics division. But the company is somewhat of a bellwether for the national economy, and so they had a very surprising quarter. Their net income was up almost 81%. Their net income per share of $1.11 beat the consensus estimate of 79 cents. I mean, it blew past that estimate. Their quarterly revenue even blew past the estimate, which that means what Wall Street was expecting. But hell of a quarter for ArcBest. And the CEO, Judy McGrinnell, the chairman, president, and CEO, Judy McGrinnell, talked about how the economy, the freight market, did improve. And a lot of it is just there's so little capacity in the market. And as these supply chains begin to recover from all of that irregularity that happened, you know, in the kind of the second quarter, maybe the first part of the third quarter, all of that kind of became tried to normalize, and they needed to get those supply chains back in order. I mean, we're talking, you know, for example, getting the right number of toilet papers,
right,
you know, toilet paper deliveries out, and, you know, this kind of thing. So people like ABF Freight and ArcBest Logistics, who have the capacity and have the people and technology in place, they're able to meet that demand, and they can get better pricing for it. I think that's the key thing that really helped them. And I take this as a sign that the U.S. economy was doing better, much better in the third quarter. The only caveat to all that is what you hear from a lot of economists around the country about without continued stimulus from Congress. You know, a lot of the stimulus that passed earlier this year has really run out, so to speak, during that third quarter. Well, we see the same in the fourth quarter and in the first quarter of 2021 without congressional action.
Well, keep wearing masks and everything, because it's a fragile economy.
Right.
And you know, as you see the country going past 100,000 cases of COVID-19 in a single day, not that the economy is more important than people's health, but boy, it's all connected.
It is. And we're seeing in Arkansas these rates. You know, Governor Hutchinson keeps telling us to do the same thing. I don't think people are, because the rates continue to grow. The deaths are double digits almost every day. So, yeah, you're right. That has to have an impact on the economy at some point if that trend doesn't go in another direction.
Michael Tilley is with Talk Business and Politics. You can read more about what we've talked about and so many other subjects at talkbusiness.net. Beat Tennessee. Go Hogs. Anything else, Michael?
Give us something to cheer about. Beat Tennessee. Yeah.
You know, we're on the pace to have like a 15 overtime game, right? That would just be perfect.
Yeah.
Or fitting.
Which, you know, now the overtime games, I think at some point you just go for two-point conversions. So it'd be a two-point shootout for like 10 quarters. Yeah, that'd be – I think that equals about two bottles of bourbon. I think that kind of process would.
Michael, take care of yourself. Talk to you next Friday.
Yes, sir. Thank you.